Dr. Trent Talbot is the CEO and founder of Brave Books, a children's book publishing company that promotes Christian and traditional values. Since its founding in 2021, Brave Books has provided over 150,000 homes with great stories that also serve as a tool for families to come together and have important discussions. Trent, thanks so much for joining us on Takeaways.
Thanks for having me, Kurt.
Good to see, hey, you know, Texas and California, this is like the clash of two worlds right here.
Yeah.
But we share the same values. And man, we've got kids. You're a dad. I'm a dad. I've got six kids. How many kids do you have?
I got three kids. The oldest is just turned three. So it's a busy time in our house.
So it's not surprising that you started this children's book publishing company. But what is kind of surprising is that you were an ophthalmologist. You were an eye doctor.
Yeah.
How did that happen? How did you go from being an eye doctor to starting a book publishing company?
Yeah, I did cataract surgery basically every day, and I liked it. But then I was saved in like right at the beginning of 2019. Got married, and after I got married, we had our first daughter Charlotte. And right after she was born, just everything changed. You know, I was totally blind to this culture war on kids. When she was born, it was just like every day there was something new. All this happened in the first like 3 weeks of Charlotte's life. And it just rocked my world. For whatever reason, it just stuck with me. I couldn't stop thinking about it. It'd keep me up at night. I was just thinking about, you know, this is the world my daughter's going to grow up in. And I see all these families. The kids just have totally different values than their parents. And when the kids age, they grow separate from mm-hmm. the parents. And I saw that in my own life with some of my family members, and it bothered me so much. And then this idea for Brave Books, Freedom Island, started to come to me, and I decided to go for it.
And so, did you feel this like excitement to do it? Was it sort of a burden, like I have to do this? Did you feel obligated for the sake of your kids?
It was more just it seemed like this great adventure and battle, you know, because I saw this wide open space where. For parents, for Christian conservative parents, there was no company out there that they could just trust implicitly with their kids' imaginations.
Right.
I saw an opportunity and I started to think through like how I do it, you know, and this vision started to come and it just seemed like it'd be too fun to pass up. That's really what it was.
So this was a fight and an adventure.
Yeah.
And you just had to jump in. Now, did your wife think you were crazy? What about some of your friends and in your community? What did they think of this harebrained idea?
Most of my friends and family, they thought I was crazy because I had it really nice as an ophthalmologist. You know, it's a guaranteed nice living. But my wife, we were sort of newlyweds. So we were still in that honeymoon period, like a year. And so she was like, everything I said, just yes, let's do it. I got your back. And that's all I needed. Now, fast forward to 5 years, I don't know if where we're at now, she would have gone along with it because she's now she's very open to shut down bad ideas. But yeah, she got behind me and then we just went for it. I've got a great best friend who got behind it, Justin, and he helped a lot make this thing happen.
How did you assemble your team? And were there moments along the way where you felt like, hey, God is confirming this is what he wants you to do?
We really had no idea what we were doing. It was just sort of this vision. And the Lord, every step along the way, just provided the perfect person. I mean, just the perfect person. Our first hire, her name was Lena. She had all this experience with Christian book publishing. And she happened to go to my church, a small little church, which, you know, Christian book publishing was a very small industry. And then so that was the first hire. And then just time after time, hire after hire, just the Lord bless us with an incredible team. And you've gotten to know the team at Brave Books. And that's what makes Brave Books is we've got this unbelievably tenacious, creative, feisty,
scrappy
bunch.
It's this tiny but mighty team of people. And you've got such a great name. How did you come up with the name Brave Books?
I thought that was a lot. That was a big problem with sort of this Christian conservative movement is just there wasn't enough people taking a stand, speaking honestly, being brave. And I also just like the way it sounds. I think that's an underrated aspect of a business name. It's got to be easy to say. It's got to flow off the tongue. And Brave Books does that.
And then within Brave Books, you've got something you call the Freedom Island Universe. Tell us, what is Freedom Island Universe?
So Freedom Island, we wanted to create this space where a safe space.
A truly safe space.
Yeah, a safe space for children's imaginations to just go and explore and have fun. And we've created this really fun universe. And our vision is for the next 50 to 100 years, when Christian, conservative parents or grandparents, when their kids, grandkids turn 3 to 5, they start a subscription with the Freedom Mind Book Club, and they get a new book every single month. And every book takes place in this universe. And so like for 50 months, it's their picture books, and then it changes to 2 chapter books a month. And so from the time they're 3, 4 until they're 14, they're growing up in this universe. And every single book reinforces, helps instill a value, you know, that builds them up, that instills solid morality, solid character.
So good.
And it also helps facilitate, you know, getting everybody off screens, coming together, reading a book, and the games, discussion questions in the back help create those memories, those conversations between parents and kids that will help parents just transfer the beliefs, the values that they hold dear into their kids.
So good.
You know, the family unit's under attack, and it's so hard to be a parent right now, you know, with all these screens, and you know, kids are getting bombarded from every angle,
yeah.
Whether social media, TV, schools, libraries. Parents need help. They need tools, and that's what we're trying to provide.
And we've been working together, and I have been just on fire together with you and your team as we've been going to these libraries for Brave Book Story Hour. Tell everybody, what is a Brave Book Story Hour? And then what was See You at the Library?
Brave Book Story Hour is typically starring Kirk Cameron, where we show up at libraries and we just read some wholesome kids' books. And for some reason, it's sort of taken the country by storm, and it outrages, you know, the left. They get up in arms about it. Libraries, the American Library Association tried to shut us down. Really mind-blowing stuff. It's been just an unbelievable story since it all started, just how much controversy it's created. Just the fact that we want to participate in these public institutions, these public spaces, read wholesome books that reinforce values that we as Christian and conservatives believe in. And yeah, it's been a wild ride.
See You at the Library was sort of the culmination of that national book tour. Talk about that day.
You know, Kirk's busy. He can only be at one library at a time. And there's so many families, communities that were just begging, hey, Brave, Kirk, y'all come out to this place. And you know, we wanted to help empower all the communities across the country to host their own Brave Book Story Hour and do it on one day where we just take over the libraries. August 5th of 2023 is whenever we did it. And we had over 10,000 people show up at libraries across the country reading wholesome books, brave books, or whatever books that they wanted to read. And that was just the start. We're going to make this an annual deal. Next year, our goal is 100,000 people. We're really going to get behind it. You know, we got a lot going on at Brave. And so we sort of like really started to promote it 6 weeks in advance. But next year, it's going to be a big promotion, 100,000. We're going to make it happen.
It was such an exciting thing to be a part of. And those 10,000 people represented over 300 public libraries that were adopted by citizens. And they were the ones who started it. And their commitment was to sing, was to pray and read wholesome books of Christian virtue to their kids in the community. And there were over 46 states that participated in that day. And now there's Pastor Story Hour. There's all sorts of parent story hours, grandparent story hours that are happening because of the ideas that this dad and ophthalmologist came up with when he launched Brave Books. Talk about the pushback that you have gotten by writing these kinds of books and hosting these kinds of events.
We were getting a lot of, you know, negative articles. Rolling Stone, Jimmy Kimmel was making fun of us. But we ignore it, keep our head down, and keep going. And at this point, you know, the attacks, I guess they've learned that they're not working and we're not going anywhere. And you know, we'll definitely, with your stuff, the story hours, it's been a lot more. But with just making the books, they're sort of just like leaving us alone right now, which is pretty nice.
So Trent, we got talking in the very beginning about how you had these fatherly instincts that just kicked in when you started seeing these horrific book titles and movies and all this stuff being shoved onto your children and everybody's children. Can you articulate some of those fatherly instincts that kicked in for your kids again? What was the feeling that it gave you?
Well, first was anger, a lot of anger. And then for me, it was just an idea, vision, and yeah, I guess at this point I was passionate about the topic, about creating an alternative place where kids' imaginations can go. And then it became a lot of, trying to use the brain that God gave me to really like map things out and look at, all right, what risk am I taking? How can I mitigate as much risk as possible? What's the opportunity? Can I actually make this happen? And a lot of analysis. I think you have to have both components. You can't just go through life, make really big decisions with just a feeling. Like to me, I would advise you couple that with thorough research analysis just to make sure that you don't make a foolish decision.
That's really wise that you've done, and clearly God is blessing what you're doing. And I think that's a great encouragement for all of us right now, because there have been generations in the past and opportunities we've all had to just sit on the sidelines and say things like, well, there's always been bad things out there for kids. There's probably always been TV shows and books that are not great for kids, but we turned out okay. But you said, no, this is maybe unique. I mean, these kinds of movies and books, this is next level stuff. And this is our time to rise up and stand up and do something about this. Do you think this is a unique time in our country?
It seems like it. From my perspective, I'm 38 years old, but from my memories of my childhood, I mean, my parents were, I guess you could call them passive parents. Like they sort of allowed culture to help raise us, public mm-hmm. school, just drop us off at the soccer fields, watching all sorts of TV. So culture had a great role in my upbringing, and I'm not perfect. And I saw some things I shouldn't have been exposed to for sure, but just American traditional values were instilled, by culture. If parents today, if they let culture raise their kids, if they choose to, let TV, social media, public schools, if they choose to go that route, that's a dangerous choice. And I don't think that was the case back even 20 years ago.
You said if parents let culture raise their kids, that's not a good idea. However, you want to be able to create tools that parents can use to raise their kids. And the tools you want to create are books and movies and TV shows and things like that. So really what you're saying, I think, is if you let a godless culture raise your kids, we're going to be in trouble, because people become like the gods that they worship. And maybe what our task is to create the culture that raises our children, that we as parents and Christians and people who love this country and our families and God, we create a culture that we can use as tools to help us raise our children the right way.
Your own home is going to have a culture. And right now, there's not a lot of options, I'd say, to help parents create a fun, exciting culture for their kids. So Brave Books is here to help facilitate that.
Do your own kids like Brave Books?
They love Brave Books.
They love Brave Books. I meet kids everywhere who love Brave Books. You go to these libraries, they've already got the Freedom Island map. They've already got the stickers. They know all the characters. They know who Bongo is. They know who Asher the Fox is.
It's so cool. Because 2 years ago, those were just figments of my imagination,
Yeah.
And now so many kids are enjoying them. It's really awesome. My daughter's, she's obsessed with villains. She's obsessed with Blackheart. Her third birthday was a Blackheart birthday party. So we've got to watch out for her. But they love them. And it's so fun to see them, fall in love with the world and then the conversations that it creates.
Trent, what advice do you have for parents who are looking at their kids and they're feeling the same way? They're feeling angry, they're feeling frustrated, but they might feel hopeless thinking, I don't determine what books are in the library. How would you encourage them? Do you think anybody can make a difference?
Oh yeah, 100%. I've seen that so many times, not just with like Brave Books and our story and the people that have helped Brave Books, become what it is. But we've got to know a lot of people that have the boots on the ground that are fighting for school boards or libraries. Mm-hmm. And yeah, a lot of times it starts with one person. And as far as advice, I think the people that I've interacted with who have been the most successful is, first and foremost, they have their homes in order. You know, they have that foundation where they focus on their home first. And once their foundation, their rock is solid, then you can go out and you can make change because you have that support. You have that place that you can always go to. If you don't have your own home in order and you try to go out and change the world, it's going to make things worse.
How would you encourage a family to figure out, or a mom or a dad to figure out how to choose what to do to make a difference? I mean, there's so many things that need to be done. You could run for public office. You could become a youth group leader. You could become join the PTA. You could do all things. You could pull your kids out of public school and say, we're going to homeschool our kids. Is there a process like prayer or asking certain people that you trust for advice to determine what you should do?
Knowing yourself is super important. Knowing your strengths and your weaknesses, and then knowing who would be going along with you on this journey, you know, if it's a big undertaking. So for me personally, I had some strengths that were right in line with this. I'm highly creative and I'm bold and I'm tenacious, but if I went by myself.
And humble.
Yes, super humble. But I knew that if I went by myself, I'd fail 100%. And my best friend decided to go along with the journey, had the support of my wife. My best friend counterbalances all, you know, he counterbalances my weaknesses incredibly well. And so you have to be honest with yourself. And I think talking to family, friends is crucial, as well as, you know, talking to the Lord.
I think that is exactly right. And I've experienced the same thing too, to remember that we don't live on a rock, on an island. We're not living in silos. We have one another.
Yeah.
And I'm encouraged by what you're doing. I'm encouraged by what I see other people doing. I meet people on the airplane. I meet people in church, at schools, all over the country who are doing unique things I never even thought of. The point is, if we all do what God has designed us to individually and uniquely do, I think we can get the job done.
Yeah, exactly.
Because we're all directed by the mind of Christ. And he may be saying, look, I'm going to get Trent to really like double down on this library book publishing thing. And I'm going to get Kirk to double down on this TV show over here and somebody else. And all of a sudden we say, man, we got an army of people who are pointing in the same direction.
And I think in order to have all these different people with the different skill sets. So, you know, it's been so great interacting with working with you and the team over at Brave, because we work so well together. And I think we work well together because there's no big egos. And so just putting the egos aside and stay in our lanes and just keep the eye focused on the mission. And when we do that, we have success.
What are some of the conversations that you're having with your kids now and some of the conversations that you're saving for later? I mean, age appropriateness seems to mean nothing now, right? We've got drag queens who are like, you know, revealing genitalia to toddlers as they read them, you know, picture books in libraries and talking about gender and sexuality at ages where the kids haven't even hit puberty. What are the messages in the books you're writing now all about?
We do cover gender reality, the sanctity of life, and topics like that will make sure that they'll equip kids for whenever they go out in the world. They've been grounded.
Because they're hearing that stuff whether we want them to or not.
Yeah, and also we just cover the basics. You know, hard work, humility, the importance of family, things like honesty. My favorite conversations I'm having with my kids right now is just pointing to God's creation, and because everything's so new to them, and it's just so fun to go on a walk and talk about the trees and the animals and the birds. And
yeah,
so cool.
It is. These are the golden years when they're little, and they're so important because this is when their hearts are tender. You know, sometimes things get older, they get a little tougher, a little ornerier. And you know, in those teenage years, sometimes it's hard to get those little kids to listen. But when they're young, they still believe everything daddy says, everything that mommy says. And we talk to them about a good and kind and merciful and loving, forgiving God who has a plan for us. This is the time to plant those seeds inside of their hearts. What would you say, Trent, to a mom or a dad who's watching right now and go, man, this is inspiring. I want to do something, but I'm just in survival mode, and I feel like things are just getting worse. What's the use? What keeps you encouraged and gives you hope that we can turn this culture around?
First, I look at, you know, my own family, and I stay focused there, and I realize that, you know, the devil has no power over my own home.
That's right.
He doesn't. And I get to choose what I allow in my home. I get to choose the culture that I have in my home. And so the world can do whatever it wants. At the end of the day, my home's my home. And so that's just like this. That's my place. And then as far as the culture at large, I get encouraged every day. You know, just we have more and more people that are subscribing and joining up with Brave Books, but you know, people like yourself and you know, they're, it's like when it gets dark, you know, the lights lightest at the, whatever that phrase is.
It's the brightest, it's the brightest at the darkest the point.
Yeah.
That's when that light means so much.
Yeah. And it stands out. And so I'm in a position where I'm interacting a lot with culture, and I get to see all those bright lights that are starting to stand out, you know, in this dark time.
Well, man, you're a bright light. Brave Books is a bonfire of light, and I'm honored to be working together with you. Thanks for coming on Takeaways.
Thanks for having me.
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Thanks for listening to this episode of Takeaways. If you love the conversations that we're having, please follow or subscribe to this podcast to never miss any of this great content. And please consider leaving a positive rating and a review to help others like you discover this show.